You are listening to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. We will be coming to you each and every day with uncensored, in-depth analysis of everything you need to know to win your fantasy leagues this season. You can follow us on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, or join the Facebook discussion groups, www.facebook.com/groups/Friends of Fantasy Benefits. Give us a 5-star review on iTunes, and send us a copy or screenshot of it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or on Twitter, at Fantasy Benefits, for a chance to get into one of our listener leagues or other prizes. Enjoy the show. Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining with me on another Prospect Minute is Matt Thompson. Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Dealt with some bullshit with the car dealerships today, but long story short, one dealership told me they can repair my car for $750, and one of them I walked out with nothing, and they just replaced something that was recalled, so who knows?
Well, hopefully your car keeps running. That's the important thing. So today we are going to be talking about the Indians organization, which while it has been thinned out a little bit, it still has my favorite prospect in the entire minor leagues.
Yeah, man.
So I'm excited. I'm excited to talk about my boy.
Are your palms white yet? You're the only one that's been holding on to this guy. So
I know, right?
I'm squeezing him pretty tight, right? Your knuckles got to be pretty white.
Yeah, I can't wait because as soon as he comes up, I'm going to start getting rewarded in a bunch of leagues. But before we do that, just remind everybody you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. So let's go ahead and jump right in, and we'll start with my boy. That is Bradley Zimmer. What are your thoughts on Zimmer? 24 years old. He should be up this year, so give me your rundown.
I guess the thing, you saw the thing with Bradley Zimmer. The big thing here is that he should have been up last year. We saw the issues with Naquin and his defense, in the playoffs, and it was pretty bad. And Naquin's strikeout rate, despite crushing righties and striking out at 30% clip, is not sustainable. So I think we'll see him fall back a little bit, and I think Zimmer can be there to capitalize. But Zimmer has his own issues. I know you're still in on him. I know you haven't wavered. I'm still kind of high on him too, but I'm nowhere near you at this point. Players, development's not linear and everything like that, but he went the wrong way for me this year. You look at the strikeout rate in AAA, and it's only 150 plate appearances, so, it's not a full season, only 128 at-bats. 37% strikeout rate, though. That's atrocious. 56% contact, that's not good. He did maintain a 14% walk rate, so that's actually encouraging because knowing it, if you're pressing, you can still draw walks, you're kind of slump-proof. And drawing walks helps with his number one tool in fantasy, which is his big steal total. I think he's going to be a guy that's going to steal 30 bases. He might hit upwards of 12 to 15 homers right away, but I think eventually he's a sneaky guy that could hit 20 homers. I do think he's probably going to get platooned, with lefty issues, but he's such a good defensive player, so maybe not. I think... Eric Longenhagen at Fangraphs dropped a Randall Grichuk comp on Zimmer from the offensive side. And if he's a Grichuk on offense with walks, obviously, then that's a hell of a player with his defensive skill set. So plus arm, plus runner, gap to gap guy with 20 homer power. I guess I'm still high on Zimmer, but I'm still nowhere near you. And I'm sure, are you drafting him this year in redraft?
Maybe in a few deeper formats, AL only, 15 teams, especially if I can reserve a player like that. You know, anything shallower than that, I'm probably not going to. The thing is, the Indians have added players to their team, you know, and so now there's less spots available. I still think he would be a better center fielder, you know, especially defensively.
He's the best center fielder in the org, yeah.
So, I mean, I think that could definitely have him up there. The Grichuk comp is interesting because I can see it from the bat perspective, but you also got to remember, I mean, this guy has, you know, 60 speed. So he's a guy who could, you know, potentially steal 20 to 30 bases at the major league level. The strikeouts are an issue. I think he can get them under control, but even if he can't, I mean, I could see him being a Carlos Gomez-esque player.
He's a potential five-tool guy if he gets the strikeouts under control. Yeah.
He's a guy I still love. I understand a lot of other people are a little bit more down on him, but I think now then is the time to buy because he should be close. I would expect him to be up, you know, sometime around Memorial Day.
Yeah.
So late May, early June.
Not many prospects are knocking on the door that have elite speed, elite on-base skills, above-average pop, and the type of defensibility that's going to keep him out there. So I guess the floor is relatively high because of the walks in the defense. What the hit tool is going to be the question mark, and obviously the hit tool affects the power. But I think even if he strikes – I mean, he struck out at a 30% clip, we'll say, throughout two levels of the minors. It was 28% in AA, 37% in AAA. So with those numbers, he still hit 15 homers and 25 doubles with six triples. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if obviously he's not going to translate fully to the majors, those numbers. But, I mean, I could see him hitting, like I said, 10 to 12 this year, even if he strikes out a lot.
While stealing 46 bases between all three minor league systems that he was in last year.
Yeah, that's a fair statement to make also. Yeah, I mean, he went to school up by you, so I'm sure that's part of the reason why he's loving him so much.
Yeah, I got to see him a bunch when he was in college, so I've got a big affinity for him. You know, I'm not as worried about the AAA strikeout rate as maybe you are. 150 plate appearances, he was dealing with finger issues. You know, around that time, went on the DL in the minor leagues for it at one point. So to me, it's too small of a sample to gain too much from it. But I do think he's the kind of guy who's going to strike out 25 to 28% of the time at the major league level.
Yeah, I guess
which
I found
today's age isn't that bad of a thing, yep. Especially when you consider he walks around 13 to 14% of the time.
Yep, and I think the injury thing is a valid point. He was across two levels last year, so it's hard to do the strikeout percentage. I did the quick math. Between both AA and AAA last year, he had a 30.7% strikeout rate, which is up because in 2015 it was 23.8%. But I mean, like you said, that extra 7% could simply be because of the finger injury. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that obviously affects the bat. So yeah, I mean, I'm still in on him. If you have him, you know, you got to hold him because you can't sell him to somebody that's stat conscious and they might be a little down on him. But, I mean, he is a potential buy low window too. So,
yep. Let's move on to other guys who might be close to the majors.
That's about it as far as big impact guys. There's a couple, probably fourth outfielder types. Greg Allen, he's kind of come on really, really, really strong. He might reach the big leagues this year toward the end of the year. I don't know, though. He's a fourth outfielder. I mean, they have Abraham Almonte coming back from the steroid suspension, and Allen's a speed guy, plus defense, above-average arm, can cover the ground in center field. His offensive ability is geared toward contact, so he's not going to hit for much power. He's going to get a lot of extra base hits, but that's just because the speed's going to play. His obviously number one tool, being a speedy outfielder, is, as you can guess, the stolen base totals. He's kind of redundant, like I said, in this organization because they have so much outfield talent. I don't know if they can keep going with Lonnie Chisenhall in right field. I don't know if they're going to pull the plug on that or whatever, but
they should.
I would slide Naquin to right field, and I would put Zimmer in center field, and I would use Greg Allen as my fourth outfielder come June. That's what I would do. But I mean, Allen, you look at Greg Allen across high A and double A. 295, 416, 413 slash, 45 steals, 7 triples, 7 homers, 23 doubles. It was kind of Zimmer-esque on the stat line if you squint without the power. Just have the power. he's a useful guy. He's a really good base runner, really good heady player, strong bench player, that's for sure. Another guy is Eric Gonzalez. He's a middle infielder. As if this organization needed more shortstop depth, they have Gonzalez. He doesn't walk, but that's fine because he's aggressive and makes a lot of contact. Hits for strong averages. He's a plus defensive shortstop, I think. They kind of used him as a utility last year. He got a little taste of the majors, a little cup of coffee toward the end. He would be my best bet for them to be their kind of utility infielder as soon as opening day. So he's a guy to watch. Might have some value in AL only, especially if Kipnis suffers his injury, which he didn't last year. You know what I mean? He typically does. He could be a beneficiary of that. They have a lot of guys that are a little bit farther away.
All right, well, let's talk about them. I'm sure Francisco Mejia is going to be on that list.
He's my number one guy in this system, even ahead of Zimmer.
Which is blasphemy, by the way.
It might be the minority opinion because, I mean, Zimmer has the major league skills now. Mejia doesn't, but what Mejia is a catcher with a double plus hit tool, switch hitter. The defense is a little questionable right now, but he has all the arm. He has the arm strength and the ability to do it. He's just a little rough around the edges. He's only 21 years old. They added him to the 40-man this year to protect him from the Rule 5. I think he's most famous for getting that 50-game hitting streak this year in the minor leagues. It's hard to project offensive numbers as a catcher. If you remember in our inaugural Friends with Fantasy Benefits draft and when we first started it up, I drafted Mejia.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I was way ahead of the game being a teenage catching prospect at that time. Obviously, I don't have him on my roster anymore, but I think he's available to probably not anymore. But, I kind of wish I held on to him, but it wouldn't have really made sense. The Lucoy trade isn't really going to hurt Cleveland because you can plug this guy in probably middle of next year. Not 2017, middle of 2018. But he's a switch hitter, like I said, more power against lefty, so from the right side. But he's not no slouch from the other side either. Smallish, like I said, good defensive skills. Not yet, though. The skills are there. 44% caught stealing, which is pretty damn good. But he's a guy you're going to have to wait on, and the catching prospect that can actually hit is impressive. So I typically shy away from catching prospects, but I think he's the best catching prospect in the game, depending if you count Zach Collins. So I don't know I might roster someone like Mejia if I can.
Okay. What about other guys who are close or farther away?
My ultimate favorite pitching prospect that's a little bit under the radar, but I don't think he is that much under the radar anymore, is Tristan McKenzie. Have you ever seen this guy?
I have not.
He's 6'5", 160 pounds.
Jesus. Beanpole.
Yeah, I wrote an article about him in the Friends with Fantasy Benefits last year about how he was kind of for Dynasty. For Dynasty, he was the guy to watch. 6'5", 165 out of upstate New York. He was drafted by the Indians in the competitive balance round A in 2015. To put it nicely, his last year he tore through the minor leagues. 1.62 ERA through two levels of A-ball, 104 strikeouts in 83 innings with only 22 walks and only four homers allowed. The stuff is nasty. He gets it into the low 90s now. Obviously, he's going to add weight. 6'5", 165. You hope he adds weight, right? Adds weight. He can get that fastball maybe up into the middle 90s. He's already got a no-shit curveball. That's a swing-and-miss pitch now. The changeup's a little bit behind, but, I mean, he's only 21 years old. So, excuse me, he's only 19 years old. So the changeup lagging behind isn't that big of an issue. A lot of pitchers his age have issues like that, but they also don't have the stuff he has on top of it. So I'm a huge, huge, huge fan of Tristan McKenzie. He is a guy who's got projectability. He's the definition of projectability just because of the size and the frame. The frame makes him an elite prospect for me because, 6'5", 165, you can dream on that. Say he adds 30 pounds of muscle, gets in the weight room, and, the Indians – take care of him there. Like I said, that velocity might tip up, and he's going to be a no-shit arm. So he's a guy to watch for me. I'm scooping him wherever I can. He's available in a lot of more places than I would think by the numbers, so it's good. I know you like Bobby Bradley.
I do. I love Bobby Bradley.
Strong OBP from the left side. OBP and power are the offensive skill sets, but he also strikes out a lot. 170 Ks and 485 at-bats. That's not too good. But when your calling card is big light tower power, you can deal with it. 29% strikeout rate last year, was 31% the year before. So as he moved up a level, he managed to cut a 2 percentage points off the strikeout rate. That's always good. I'm not sure if that's bankable or if it's just random variation kind of, but it's worth noting because it is an improvement. The walks are healthy. He's going to have platoon issues, but he does hit for power against lefties still, but the batting average against lefties was pretty much non-existent last year. 235, 344, 466 line, 23 doubles, 29 homers, and 485 at-bats. I comp him to like Brandon Moss for me. He's going to be a guy like that, strong OBP from the left side with good power, and he's going to be real hot some days, and he's going to carry you, and he's other days he's going to be benchable. Like this stretch, he had 108 in his last 10 games to end the season for Bradley in the Carolina League. So, you know what I mean? You're going to have stretches like that with a guy like this, but he's going to walk a little bit, give some value. He's not going to add any stolen bases. He'll get a couple a year. Defensively, he's barely going to stick at first, but he's got the DH available to him in Cleveland, and his three-year timetable should jive up pretty nicely with Edwin Encarnacion, you know what I mean? He'll be up before then, but he won't be ready for a regular job, so it'll work nicely. He won the MVP award last year in the Carolina League. Was led the league in RBIs and walks. It's a big power potential, 6'1", 225 from the left side, so he's worth investing in. Will Benson was their first-round draft pick this year, and I like him second best out of all their draft picks. I like their second guy, Nolan Jones, a lot better. But Will Benson is he's always worth a chuckle. He's a big dude. They did, you know how they did that, the draft coverage on MLB Network this year? And they let the players speak. They asked the players the question, who's your game most like? Benson, he's 6'5", 225 from Georgia, and he's an outfielder, and he bats left-handed, throws left-handed. So, obviously, who did he pick? He picked Jason Hayward. And, I mean, Jason Hayward is an other-world defensive player, which is good, but his bat, I don't think we still know what it is. You know what I mean? And Benson is a power bat down the line, probably 20-25 homers. He has a cannon for an arm, which is nice. He kind of gets a Hayward comp there. But Hayward was in the major leagues at 20, so I'm not comping anybody to Hayward.
Yeah.
I mean, he came out red hot. I mean, his career, like we said, we've documented. It's been a roller coaster since. But he got to the major leagues at 20 years old. I'm not comping a 19-year-old to Jason Hayward. I won't do it. A 19-year-old just entering pro ball. He's got a lot of upside. He's probably the most upside in the system from the offensive side, but I'm not betting on it. The 70 raw power is phenomenal, but 40 is the maximum hit tool probably, so I'm not getting on board of that profile. I think he's going to strike out too much. I don't think he ever gets to really tap into it. So he's a guy that you can probably get for really cheap if you believe in the package for dynasty drafts. He could be 2020 if everything works out perfectly, but I think he's a long-term project, and he's not one I'm willing to invest in because I'm not sold on it. I guess if we're going to talk about draft, we want to talk about Nolan Jones. He's my boy. 18-year-old pick from Pennsylvania, 257, 388, 339 in rookie ball, 49 strikeouts and 109 at-bats. That's a red flag, but 23 walks. Very advanced hitter for the high school levels. Probably he's playing shortstop now. I think he's a third baseman down the line. He was remember Corey Koski from the Twins?
Mm-hmm.
Guy had 20-25 homers from the left side, didn't really have much average. That's the comp I get for this guy. He's kind of a boring player in the sense that, I mean, Corey Koski was boring, and he's never going to be the best player on his team or fantasy team or anything like that, but he's going to be an extremely useful piece.
Mm-hmm.
So, Nolan Jones is a dude to pay attention to. Rob Kaminsky from the Cardinals, he's taken a couple steps back. Cleveland traded him for Brandon Moss. The curveball's gone backwards. Fastball now sits in the upper 80s, so he's not anybody I'm excited about. He gets a lot of ground balls, throws strikes, changeup's improving. He is a probably back-end innings eater, probably be up next year. Not by next year, I mean 2018. Yu Cheng Chang. It's
Say that three times fast.
He's got one letter difference between his first name and last name, so it's kind of throws me off. Taiwanese guy, which is interesting always. He's a shortstop prospect who's going to be average across. He's average across the board, except I would put a 55 on the power. So average across the board with 55 power, that's going to stick at short. That's a pretty decent package. Probably one of the most underrated prospects in the minor leagues. 259, 332, 463 last year in high A with 13 homers and 30 doubles. That's pretty good. So he's a guy to pay attention to. Yandy Diaz, he might be up this year. I forgot about him. He's a third base prospect from Cuba. Late bloomer, really, really good glove at third base. Hits the ball really hard. Strikes out quite a bit. Seems to be an issue here, but a strong batting average. I believe he hit close to 320 this year. So he's a dude to watch. There's a lot of lesser guys in the minors that I like in this system. I mean, they claim Tim Cooney off waivers from the Cardinals. He's a back-end guy, throws a lot of strikes, got a really good slider. He could be a back-end rotation piece to have some value in A only if he's healthy. He had a shoulder injury last year, so he might not be. Sean Armstrong is a really good relief arm, a lot of strikeouts, 357 strikeouts and 263 minor league innings. That's a lot. So I think he could get a bullpen job, but I mean, I don't know if there's any high leverage jobs available in that organization. Probably not. Sean Morimondo, good left-handed back-end starter guy. Ryan Merritt, same. Tyler Kreiger, I liked him in Clemson. He hasn't really hit yet in the minor leagues. He had a nice year last year, though, between low A, high A. He's a switch hitter, probably 10-12 homer power with 15 steals if he gets a chance. Second base only, so that limits him a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, the system is very, very good. I'd probably put it back end of the top 10 because of the top end talent is so good. Oh, I forgot Brady Aiken. How could I do that?
Former first-round pick.
Yeah, man.
First overall pick.
Twice drafted in the first round, and we're finally talking about him now. I guess that shows what we think, right?
I mean, he's coming off of Tommy John surgery, so.
The stuff has gone backwards, though. It's not an encouraging season for him last year. It was encouraging that he pitched, but, like, I'm willing to throw it out, though, like I said, because, I mean, like you said, he came back from the Tommy John. But he was in the Arizona League, the rookie league. He had a 7.13 ERA in 24 innings. That's not good. The strikeouts at 35, though, is nice. K per inning, as he moved up the ladder, the stuff got better as he pitched more in the season, which is encouraging. I am going to put a mid-rotation starter upside on him, and that's not all that appealing in the fantasy circles. The curveball and changeup need to come back to the way they were. But I'm giving him a number 3 upside, but the most important thing for him next year is just to take the ball every day. You know what I mean? And see what he can do. He's only 20 years old. So perhaps I'm being a little harsh on him, but he's going to be in the back end of my Indians top 10, that's for sure.
All right. Well, that's going to wrap us up. Again, you can reach Matt on Twitter at MDTompFWFB. You can reach me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. Please give us a rating review. Give us a 5-star review and give us a screenshot of that. Send it to friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com or at fantasybenefits on Twitter. I'll make sure you get into a listener league or eligible to win other prizes later in the off season.
Ooh, prizes.
Ooh, prizes.
Is one of them a new lower radiator hose for my car?
It is not.
Oh, damn it, because that's what I need.
But if you drive it out to California, I'll fix it for you.
Should I make the... We'll see how that... Might have to pick me up somewhere in Kansas.
Well, good luck with that. All right, that'll wrap us up. For Matt and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season.